Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yesterday, the horrible news came out that became a national story. You go to ESPN.com. It's a top three story yesterday. Luke Laufenberg, the son of Babe Laufenberg and a tight end at UTEP, passed away after dealing with cancer for 2 years. He was only 21 years old, and Babe posted this. RJ had sent me the posting today from Babe. "Today we lost a son, a brother, a friend, and a warrior. Have never seen a person battle like Luke Laufenberg, but he lost his fight with cancer. He was truly inspirational. The hole in our hearts will never be filled. You are my hero. Rest in peace, my sweet Luke. See you on the other side." And he was a former walk-on at A&M, played at Mesa Community College before getting diagnosed after his only season at the junior college in 2017. And then in May 2018, he was declared cancer-free before experiencing further complications this past spring. So Babe Laufenberg going through it yesterday. Jason Garrett, at his daily press conference, decided to focus only on this.
"Well, Luke was an amazing young man. You guys have heard me talk about fight a lot. I don't know that I've ever seen a better example of that in my life. What he's gone through over the last couple of years, the spirit that he had every day to battle through it, to always be thoughtful about the people in his life. How's my mom doing? How's my dad doing? How's my brother doing? Amazing. You'd walk into the room and he'd just light up. Whatever was going on, he just had this way, this strength, unlike I've ever seen in my life. It's such a tragedy. It's so hard to understand. But I know I will, and anybody who ever knew him will be forever inspired by the life that he lived."
Jason Garrett yesterday at the Cowboys press conference after the Laufenberg news.
I was blown away when I saw that, because we had seen Babe and Oxnard, and Luke was out there with him. And I don't think any of us heard anything that it was a terminal situation like it was. And he posted later that they were throwing the football in the middle of July, and then 2 days later it was he was told by the doctor that he had 2 to 8 weeks of life left. It's terribly sad. I can't imagine. I texted Babe yesterday, which I hated to do. That's not a text, but I knew he wasn't picking up the phone at that point anyway. But it's just, you know, I just can't imagine the feelings that he's going through, the emotions that anyone, be it a parent, sibling, kid especially. I can't imagine that.
Yeah. Dawson, very emotional yesterday. So was Kavanaugh during G-Bag. And the exact post that you're referring to is 10 hours ago. 98 degrees on July 10th. Luke had lifted weights and was working on his routes. I loved coaching him. He was receptive to coaching. 2 days later, he was told he had 2 to 8 weeks to live. All he wanted in life was to play football. Thank you, UTEP Athletics. So that is the horrible, horrible news that came out yesterday. All our best wishes to Babe Laufenberg, who always does have a smile on his face. No easy transition. Well, we have Jason Witten as well commenting on what happened yesterday.
"When I heard the news this morning, I just thought of what a heavy heart, you know, they must have as parents and as a family going through something like that. But, you know, I would hear about it because my kids went to a school where Luke went to a couple of his last couple of years of high school, and just the kind of guy he was, you know, the people that he was around and how he made them feel. And you know, life goes fast, and certainly, you know, you don't need reminders like that, but just you work here and you have an opportunity to know somebody for that many years. I mean, kind of, you know, throws you for a loop, say the least.
Yesterday, the Cowboys on the practice field, Ben and Skin were out there broadcasting live, the only radio show allowed to do play-by-play as their session was going on. And Broadus has the recap on DallasCowboys.com. I have gone on record saying that if Zeke misses the first game, that Alfred Morris would be the starter. History has always told me coaches will tend to go with the known over the unknown. But with the way that Tony Pollard has been getting snaps these last couple of weeks, I'm starting to believe that we will likely see Pollard sooner rather than later. So Tony Pollard continues to impress out there as the Cowboys play again tomorrow against the Texans right here on The Fan in Arlington.
You know, if I don't know what they're going to wind up doing in terms of how many carries. Let's just say there's no Zeke for week one. I don't know the workload that Tony Pollard is able to do. We won't know. That's not something you can find out in preseason, I don't believe. But, man, his ability just to get to the hole and get through it is quick. We saw this in Oxnard. We saw this in the game in Honolulu. Just getting to the outside and being able to make that cut up, feel that one cut. He could be something pretty good. He can be. But again, we're always going to know or wonder until we know whether or not he can take the workload.
And, you know, there's a little tug of war in my own mind about Tony Pollard's lack of workload in college, not allowing him to be a banger or a workhorse in the NFL. But then I also think of a young 20-something-year-old with fresh legs. I'm like, can a young kid like this really not take it against the Giants for 16, 17 times at the age of 22, just being a young buck? But then you got to consider the weight and his build in terms of getting hammered over and over.
I mean, it's not like he's small, you know. But, you know, we asked the same thing about why. Okay, so why is he not starting? Why did he not start over Henderson in college? Okay, well, I mean, or does the fact that he didn't have a heavy workload mean that he can't? There's outliers, but the big outlier that everyone will point to is Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
He didn't start in college until Jalen Hurd got hurt. And
why was that?
Why did Jalen Hurd get hurt? Oh, why did he not start in college? Because Butch Jones is a moron. That's why. Because Butch Jones was his coach, and Butch Jones had Alvin Kamara and Derek Barnett and couldn't figure out how to win a football game. And that's just, you know, those are just facts.
Alvin Kamara had basically 100 rushing attempts per year at Tennessee.
Think about that.
107 in 2015, 103 in 2016. He never had more than 40 catches either.
Yeah.
Never had more than 40.
And you could see watching where he was always the best player on the field. I went down to that A&M game that Luke Loffenberg got me tickets to, and he was by far the best player on that field. There was a guy named Miles who was on that field as well.
Oh, Garrett.
Yeah. And there's no question who the best player on the field was. It was Alvin Kamara. And they couldn't figure out how to use him.
Yeah.
And that's neither here nor there. But the point is that just because you don't take a workload in college or you didn't start, a lot of that could be your coach is an idiot.
Right.
Or they didn't know how to use you properly.
Broda says, don't know this for a fact, but have a feeling we could see the starters for a couple of series tomorrow night. My range is somewhere from 15 to 20 plays. Both sides of the ball have been pretty efficient with the time they've received, so their look will likely be extended. If you check the Cowboys' schedule, and you've always harped on this, four of the five games that they will face coming up, it's a 3-4 defense. I don't believe it's a coincidence that three of their four preseason games are against clubs which play with an odd front. It's going to be a good test to go against it. It's an active group that was able to put some pressure on the Lions last week and was physical against the run. I assume he's talking about the Texans there, but the Cowboys against the 3-4.
Yeah, the Cowboys have had a problem at times with their offensive linemen getting to the second level of the defenders against the 3-4. But the weird thing is that the 3-4 defense replaces a defensive line with a linebacker. So size-wise, it should suit the Cowboys well. they should be able to overpower them. But the speed of the 3-4 defense sometimes hurts them. But a running team should do better against the 3-4. It's more of a passing defense. There's a reason why teams in the NFL, kind of go to that 3-4. There's so many, you're getting it a better opportunity to defend the pass.
How is Kellen Moore adjusting to life without a full complement of tight ends? He's using Jamaze Olawale in Jason Witten's spot, the tight end. Generally, Witten is the lead blocker for Dak on the read option. It's designed to send the back one way, have the blocker come the other. With Dak reading the end, it's been a successful play for the offense, especially down in the red zone. And in terms of the secondary, he's been noticing that Anthony Brown and Jordan Lewis have both been taking snaps on the slot in the nickel. When Brown plays on the outside, Lewis comes inside. When Lewis is taking his snaps on the outside with the second defense, it's Brown who plays in the slot. And Broda says if Byron makes it back for week one, his gut feeling is it will be Awuzie, Jones, and Anthony Brown. If Byron's not there, Anthony Brown will stay on the outside, and Lewis will come in on the slot. And he says, keep an eye out for Cedric Wilson on special teams all over the place tomorrow against the Armpit. Roy, what's coming up on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text?
Couple people pointing out Alvin Kamara's workload in college. Now, he did have considerably more touches, but from the 4-6-9, Tony Pollard caught 39 passes his senior season. Alvin Kamara caught 40. Alvin Kamara had 103 rushing attempts. Tony Pollard had 78. Basically saying the workload isn't a determining factor for these guys in terms of what they can handle. It's really about the coach's decision.
Well, yeah, that's why I brought it up, because Alvin Kamara didn't have a heavy workload, and then we saw him bust out.
Yeah.
And break out.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Like, it's, schemes, coach's decisions, all that stuff. Doesn't mean that you can't handle the workload. And let's be real. We don't know if Alvin Kamara can handle a 25-carry workload in the NFL.
Right.
We haven't seen it.
Right.
And it's been 3 years.
There's a report yesterday that the Redskins turned down a first-round pick offered by New England for Trent Williams. Now, our guys in D.C. at The Fan reporting it, Ian Rappaport coming in and saying absolutely not true. So the story out there is the Redskins turning down a first for Trent.
I'll tell you, if they turn down a first, the thank you that you're in our division. Because Trent Williams didn't want to play for you anymore. And he had a growth on his brain, on his head. Like, there was a chance that he never played again. Like, there's a chance. They were talking about that. And to not take a first-round pick for him, for a guy who didn't want to play for you anyway, this is why the Redskins are who they are. Like, it really is. I mean, take your first-round pick and move on. You ain't going to win with him, so try to win without him. If you're not going to win with him, it's time to just blow the thing up from there, that regard.
Even if it's the end of the first round?
Yeah, I mean, you could take your pick. I mean, because the Redskins are going to have a high first anyway.
Right.
Right? And they're going to have a high second. So they have a chance of getting three of the top 40 picks in the draft. I mean, that to me, that's a franchise changer if you hit on them.
Patrick Chung, Patriots safety, is going to be arraigned next week. Felony charge of cocaine possession for Patrick Chung, who's 32 years old, been in the league for a while.
He has been. I was stunned when I saw it. I was like, whoa, man, Patrick Chung, he's not 22 anymore. What's he doing with the little sniffy juice there?
Where's that suspension coming down too? Like, that at least is one you could think, okay, you probably should be suspended for that. And this is the literal first time we've heard of this. He was charged with it back in like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, sure is a good thing that the Patriots run such a tight ship up there, and other players get in trouble.
Oh, now here we're gonna hear Fisher. You see, Belichick is in some disciplinary, and Belichick's not in control. This happens everywhere.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.